United States of Horror
may contain some graphic
or explicit content.
Listener discretion is advised. Really? That wasn't on purpose.
Really? First, second, you're cut now?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, boy.
So we just sat here for like...
20 minutes?
20 minutes waiting for our neighbors to get done weed whacking or just blowing their leaves, whatever.
Into our yard.
Into our yard.
Into our yard.
Like they do every time. Anyway.
Anyway.
Irrelevant.
We should be nice and grateful that they actually want to share with us their leaves.
Yeah. Why don't we go over there and, like, we should bag up all of the leaves.
Just throw them in the trash can.
Well, no, bring them to their yard and then leave a note on the bagged leaves and be like, leave us alone, please.
That's funny. That's really funny. What you should do is get 3 bags full of the leaves, make a snowman out of them, and make him a leaf snowman? Mm-hmm. Leaf snow?
Leaf man.
Leaf man, yeah. Like, stab a couple sticks and
okay,
stuff.
Sorry, we're done.
We're done.
I'm sorry.
All right, bye, y'all. All of us are done. All of us are bound.
They can have a minute-long episode. They'll be fine.
Oh, they're cutting out about a minute right now.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, probably.
So.
Anyway.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Kaylee.
And we are
the United States of Horror.
Yes.
Welcome to our podcast.
Podcast?
I don't know what I was going to say. I'm
our
sorry.
Feature presentation of our new movie.
The feature presentation.
Please enjoy the popcorn or the sodas.
Welcome to Alabama.
Alabama.
We're going to put on our best Alabama accents.
And have some gumbo and
gumbo?
I don't know.
That's Louisiana.
And they're all the same area. I'm totally joking, guys.
I don't know.
No.
Awkward silence, I guess.
Just like when people ever say, oh, you're from Arizona, so you're from the Southwest. Yeah, we're Southwest. But
Southwest.
California is... Southwest. I'm like, no, California's west. Where's Southwest? Well, is Nevada part of Southwest?
We're getting too deep.
No, we're
it's
not
too
part
much.
Of that.
It's too much.
I'm like, okay. Nevada is not, you know.
They get it.
They're west.
Yeah.
Us in New Mexico are Southwest.
Utah's north of us.
So, yeah. Okay, I think people
anyway,
are tired of us.
Sorry.
We're okay. Going rough on this episode.
I know. So, yeah, we're going to be in Alabama. I have a really interesting, weird, sad, of course, story.
Alrighty. I love to hear sad things from you, Kaylee.
I haven't done very many of these. Because...
You never do sad stories?
Well, no. This particular topic.
Okay.
So, I'm actually going to be covering... the University of Alabama in Huntsville shooting.
Oh.
Yeah.
You had to go there, Kaylee.
I know. I try to avoid those stories, but this one is like...
Universities?
Yeah.
Colleges?
Because I'm dumb.
Because we're dumb from Arizona.
Your mom goes to college.
She actually graduated from college.
Yeah, I know.
So.
Good job, Christina. Love you. Even though you don't listen to it. Thanks.
One of the force or two. Stop touching that.
I'm sorry. Anyway.
Anyway.
So, yeah. It's a still sad school shooting, but it's not as sad as, like, the elementary schools and stuff. Not to say that adult lives mean less, but...
Okay, Kaylee, keep going.
I'm just going to stop
this
while I'm
getting
ahead.
More dark and depressing and sad
I'm
and
sorry.
Awkward.
I didn't... You know what I mean. And this is, like, not a random act of violence. Well, it is a random act of violence. I take that back. However, it is a little bit more... No, it falls into the same category. I'm just going to stop talking and just jump into it, I guess. Because, yeah, I'm going to stop talking to start talking. Does that make sense?
Stop wandering off like I normally do. I know I'm supposed to be the socially awkward one. I can't speak.
Oh, no. Speak. I'm pretty sure I'm very socially awkward.
Speak it with a
lip. And I cannot speak either. So why do we have a podcast?
Because we're funny? No, we're not that.
We're not even that.
What are we?
Informative?
The United States of Horror.
Anyway, okay. So in this particular school shooting, 3 people were killed. and three others were wounded. This happened on February 12th of 2010, so about 10 years ago. Well, a little more than 10 years now. A lot more than 10 years, almost 11, technically, because we're at the end of the year.
We're in October, guys. It's almost Halloween time.
Holy guacamole. We're about to wrap up all 50 states, too. We're getting extremely close.
Yeah, like 5 or 6 more, guys.
Jeff and I actually, sorry to, like, interrupt the story that I already started, but Jeff and I actually spent a good chunk of time finishing up our notes for the rest of the states.
Yes.
So we have everything planned out. We're so efficient today.
Oh, I got one done. That's all I care about.
You only did one?
No, I did them. I'm joking.
Oh, I was like...
I just want to see the face of your disappointment. Your disappointment face. Look at me like
you
always.
You don't see that enough?
That's what I'm saying. I like seeing it. I'm used to it.
I haven't been disappointed lately.
Guys, this is a brand new thing for me. This feels weird. I don't like it. Okay, get back anyway, to the shooting.
So during the course of a routine meeting of the biology department attended by approximately 12 people, Amy Bishop, a biology professor at the university, stood up and began shooting those closest to her with a Ruger P95 handgun.
Interesting. So that's let's we used to have that gun in our factory.
And spoiler alert, we work.
And might have worked on it for a little while, so.
You could have built.
No.
No, that was way before your time.
That was like 2 years before me.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Technically, that was made from Ruger, so that's where we work.
Yeah. We've never said that before.
Yeah, I don't think people know that unless they check out our
profile. Because it can be really controversial.
Yeah, especially about this week's topic, Kaylee. Thanks.
I'm sorry.
So it was like, the company we work for
built
that model.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of hits close to home.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you sit there and wonder, has a product I ever made been used in one of these kind of crimes?
I always think about that because we assemble guns and sometimes, like, you never know if my hair, like,
your fingerprints on the side.
My fingerprints, yeah. Or if before we wore masks every day, if like I accidentally coughed, or I don't know, if my saliva DNA is somewhere on that gun and then it's used for a crime, if it's like swabbed.
Yeah, yeah.
Is my DNA going to be tied to a murder?
So that's really interesting.
Very interesting. Sorry. Rabbit holes. So a little bit about Amy Bishop. I'm not going to linger too much on her because there wasn't much to begin with. She was born on April 24th of 1965. At the time of the shooting, she was 44 years old. She's married to James Anderson and is the mother of 4 children. She grew up in Massachusetts, attended Braintree High School, and completed her undergraduate degree at Northeastern University in Boston, where her father, Samuel Bishop, was a professor in the art department. So she's an educated woman, and she had a normal life. Quote-unquote normal.
Normal, probably more, how do I say this without sounding rude? More...
like a typical...
typical, yeah. I don't know how to say this. Like, she was more... she had a better...
traditional
family.
Yeah. She earned her PhD in genetics from Harvard University.
So she's really smart with genetics.
Very smart. Bishop's 1993 dissertation at Harvard was titled The Role of Methoxetine, PQQ, in the Respiratory Burst of... I can't say all that stuff. Basically, she was extremely intelligent. And she knew what she was talking about as far as biology goes. An anonymous source at Harvard stated that Bishop's work... she was really smart. She made it through Harvard. Someone says that Bishop's work was of poor quality and undeserving of a doctorate degree, calling it local scandal number one. So people had their opinions about her. But if she can get into Harvard and graduate from Harvard and get her PhD and stuff, like...
especially biology and all this stuff.
Is she that dumb? Maybe.
You never know. I mean,
I guess dumb for a doctor, but
maybe it was like a family thing, or maybe they just had money.
She's smarter than me.
Maybe they had money. There's a lot of different scenarios.
The problem is that's coming from an anonymous source, so you have no idea who that person is or what their relation to her is.
Yeah.
Not that I'm trying to defend her, but anyway, irrelevant. So Bishop joined the faculty at the Department of Biological Sciences at the University of Alabama in Huntsville as an assistant professor in 2003. She was teaching 5 courses prior to the shooting. Previously, she was an instructor at Harvard Medical School. So how dumb can you be, really?
Well, and also you are teaching Harvard, and then you go to, what, she go to a high school?
No,
or
it's
college. Sorry.
It's a college. It's university.
But yeah, but imagine going from Harvard to a normal college.
Yeah, so I guess
I guess that maybe could be something.
It could be.
Who knows?
It could indicate. So she and her husband's portable cell incubator came in 3rd in a technology competition, winning $25,000. Prodigy Biosystems, where Anderson is employed, raised $1.25 million to develop the automated cell incubator. David Williams, president of UAH, considered that the incubator would change the way biology and medical research is conducted, but some scientists consulted by the press declared it unnecessary and too expensive. So she has lots of critics, which could have pushed her into whatever corner she felt she was pushed into.
Imagine you make that much of a good product that could be lasted forever, and then like the main people are like, it's whatever, we don't care.
Yeah, and if she, in her opinion, if she works hard on something, even if other people don't think that she works hard or think that she's dumb, whatever it may be, that's got to be hard to have people coming for you on everything, which it seems like people were. But, you know, that's just from our perspective. Who knows? Bishop had written 3 unpublished novels, one featuring a woman scientist working to defeat a pandemic virus and struggling with suicidal thoughts at the threat of not earning tenure. How do you say that?
Tenure.
Okay. I'm dumb. It's fine. I don't even know what it is. Okay.
Don't worry, guys. We didn't go to Harvard or college. So.
No, we did not. I went to high school. Got myself a high school diploma.
I went to Chino Valley High School, so I win.
The novels reportedly reveal a deep preoccupation with the concept of deliverance from sin. Bishop is actually the second cousin of the novelist John Irving.
Okay.
So, living in someone's shadow, that's also something. Try to look at, like, the pressure points in people's lives, not to dismiss what they've done or explain it away, but to kind of, you know, okay, so those are the things that kind of pushed her to the edge.
Yeah.
So to speak.
She seemed like she was always second best, fourth place, always on the back burner.
Yeah. Which it is still success, but that can also push someone. Push is the word of the day.
Push it real good.
Push it.
Okay,
anyway. So she was a member of the Hamilton Writers Group while living in Ipswich, Massachusetts. Not sure if I said that right. In the late 1990s, and was said to believe that writing would be her ticket out of academia, which apparently not. She had a literary agent, although she had not published any books. Members of the club said she would frequently cite her Harvard degree and family ties to Irving to boost her credential as a serious writer. Another member described Bishop as smart but abrasive, and in her interactions as feeling entitled to praise. So there we go.
There we go. That's what I thought she was.
She was a little snob.
Yeah.
Little snobby.
That's what happens when you go to college. You think you're better than me.
Get yourself your college degree and shove it up your rear end.
You freaking Harvard biologist. I bet you can't hit this rock with a stick, though.
I'm sorry. If you have a college degree, that doesn't make you worse than us. But it doesn't make you better. So
all I say is I'm good.
Stick that in your pipe and smoke it.
Please don't.
I'm kidding. I don't care.
That's what either. Happens out here in Chino Valley.
Everybody makes their own choices. Some make better choices than others.
I'm not a good choice.
You are a good choice.
My last name is Good Guys.
Okay. Several colleagues had expressed concern over Bishop's behavior. She was described as interrupting meetings with bizarre tangents, left field kind of stuff, being strange and notably crazy. One of these colleagues was a member of Bishop's tenure review committee. After Bishop's tenure was denied and she learned that this colleague referred to her as crazy, she filed a complaint with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission alleging sex discrimination. Which is a big deal.
So I understand why she could have done that, but if it's a group thing, then it's kind of, you're out of luck. But if someone on the council or whatever, the team, is, what should have happened is she should have, if she did process the paperwork and everything, just say conflict of interest and then redo it very quick. Not sue. That's what you should do.
Well, yeah. Well, we'll get into it, too. A little bit more of her behavior and how she was as a person is kind of exposed.
I can't wait.
So she cited the professor's remark to be used as possible evidence in that case. The professor did not retract his comments. He was given the opportunity to back off the claim or to say it was a flippant remark, but he didn't. He's quoted saying, "I said she was crazy multiple times and I stand by that." So,
wow.
Yeah. This woman has a pattern of erratic behavior. She did things that weren't normal. She was out of touch with reality. So he felt very strongly about it and stood by his words, which in the face of being criticized for your verbiage like that, to stand firm in that and, you know, potentially have, you know, your own position risked. He had to feel pretty strongly about that.
Yeah. So, and sometimes when you go get tenured, you have to do certain processes to get money like that approved and stuff. Sometimes they do make you take an eval.
Mm-hmm.
Evaluation now for your mental health and for your past history and stuff. So maybe this could have been it.
The reason why they do that now?
Maybe, or, yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Sometimes they have a special counsel to test certain things, like looking at certain things. Anyway.
Better-er. I'm just kidding. So Bishop was reportedly a poor instructor and unpopular among her students. She dismissed several graduate students from her lab, and others sought transfers out. So,
did you say porn or poor?
I'm joking, guys. I'm pretty sure I said poor. I was like,
a porn instructor. Okay, kids, well, we're learning about biology this way. Bow, go,
wow. Oh my god, I'm so sorry.
I'm not.
In 2009, several students said they complained to administrators about Bishop on at least three occasions, saying she was ineffective in the classroom and had odd, unsettling ways. A petition signed by dozens of students was sent to the department head. The complaints, however, did not result in any classroom changes. Also in 2009, Bishop published an article in a Vanity Press medical journal listing her husband and three minor children as co-authors. The article was later removed from the journal website.
That's rough. So, you have this guy.
Yeah.
You have these kids.
Uh-huh.
So, there's more of the pattern. That's why they're supposed to have a special counsel look at
this
stuff.
Yep, she's being pushed to that edge.
Push that edge. Push it real good.
Push it. Push it real good. I'm sorry, I'm taking that out.
Cut it out.
I'm taking that out.
Take the scissors and stab me and cut me out. The podcast.
Cut my life into pizza.
Is this my plastic fork? Okay, keep going. Please. Please, let's end this.
As explained by Williams, the university president, after Bishop was denied tenure in March of 2009, she could not expect to have her teaching contract renewed after March of 2010. She appealed the decision to the university's administration, and without reviewing the content of the tenure application, they determined that the process was carried out according to policy and denied the appeal. The routine facility meeting at which Bishop opened fire was unrelated to her tenure. Bishop's husband said the denial of the tenure had been an issue in recent months and described the process as a long, basically hard fight. He said that it was his understanding that she exceeded the qualifications for tenure and that she was distressed at the likelihood of losing her position, barring a successful appeal. Bishop approached members of the University of Alabama Systems Board of Trustees and hired a lawyer who was finding one problem after another with the process. One point of dispute was whether two of her papers had been published in time to count toward tenure. Bishop, who gave more emphasis to obtaining patents rather than publishing papers, reportedly received several warnings that she needed to publish more to receive tenure. So Bishop had previous encounters with law enforcement officials due to an outburst or violent act on her part. In each instance, she remained unscathed. The incidents did not come to the attention of UAH administration or other employers. In 1986, she actually shot and killed her brother with a shotgun. In what was initially ruled an accident based on her mother's testimony, she was not charged with a crime.
There's like a lot of different things wrong with that.
Yeah.
She should have at least got a charge for reckless endangerment with a weapon.
Something. So I'm gonna go back to that. But in 1994, she and her husband were questioned regarding a letter bomb incident involving a doctor at a facility at which she had previously been employed. And then in 2002, she was charged with assault after striking a woman in the head during a dispute at a restaurant, but she was not convicted.
Is she related to the Godfather?
Maybe.
Where's my tenure? Where's my tenure? Whack, whack.
So more on the brother shooting. At the age of 21, Bishop fatally shot her 18-year-old brother, Seth Bishop, on December 6th of 1986 at their home in Braintree, Massachusetts. Bishop fired two shots from a 12-gauge pump-action shotgun, one into her bedroom wall, then one into her brother's chest while they were in the kitchen with their mother. Later, she pointed the weapon at a moving vehicle on the adjacent road and tried to get into the vehicle. The death of her brother was classified as an accident by Braintree police, and in statements to Braintree police that day, she and her mother, Judy Bishop, both claimed the shooting was accidental.
So, that is... Okay, cops. If you actually did your job, maybe this wouldn't have happened. How do you shoot on accident twice? I understand maybe once at the wall.
And she had to reload a third time because she was about
driver.
To
shoot. Yeah. Yeah, that's what, wall, okay. Brother, maybe if he was on the other side of the wall.
Yeah, if he happened to be in the crossfire or something.
But that third time with that truck outside.
You can't fire a gun three times accidentally or two and a half times accidentally.
Some random driver hold a gun at them like, woo.
You don't accidentally reload a shotgun. Like, that takes time.
Yeah, that should have been at least investigated a little bit. Some sort of little charge.
Police found that the shotgun had a live round in the chamber. This would have required Bishop to rock the slide of the weapon after shooting her brother to simultaneously eject the spent shell and reload the chamber. So, again, that takes effort. After a brief inquiry into the incident by the state police in 1986, reported in 1987, they repeated the Braintree Police Department's initial assessment that the shooting was accidental. The district attorney's Bill Delahunt, later elected as a Democratic United States House representative, did not file charges. Detailed records of the shooting had disappeared by 1988, so wiped off the record. It didn't matter at that point.
Wish there should have been at least something for...
She literally got away with murder.
Especially if you're a professor or a teacher.
Exactly.
Around kids,
someone who is teaching and molding the minds of young adults.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad. Braintree Police Chief Paul Frazier said on February 13th of 2010, the report's gone, removed from the files. After speaking with officers involved with the case in 1986, Frazier called the accident description inaccurate. He and others said that then-chief John Polio had ordered Bishop released to her mother, allegedly a political supporter of the town chief as a member of the Braintree town meeting. So,
conflict of interest.
They said that Amy Bishop had demanded to meet with Polio personally after the arrest instead of being charged for the shooting. Frazier was not on duty during the incident, but recalled how frustrated the members of the department were over the release of Amy Bishop. Obviously, that kid was 18 years old. She literally snuffed out his light before he was even able to shine. Like, he was a young teenager.
And, like, just the whole, we lost everything, no investigation, really. Just, like,
dumb.
Especially if there's a shooting. Bad. Yeah, shooting and murder of someone. If it is accidental, that's all you have to say.
Yeah.
And, like, leave key notes. What happened? Were they fighting? Like, what happened?
Exactly.
And they just lose it. They don't care.
Mm-hmm. Other officers, he said, believed that Polio had fixed a murder, resulting in what Frazier described as a miscarriage of justice, which is a good description, just because it was a friend of his. The now-retired Polio denied that there had been a cover-up. Of course he did. Frazier's 2010 account of the 1987 Massachusetts State Police report differ in several key details, including whether Bishop had been arguing with her brother or her father before the shooting. So, evidence was basically tampered then.
Yeah, that's what that's messed up.
On February 16th of 2010, Braintree officials announced that the files previously missing had been located, mysteriously. And Norfolk County District Attorney William Keating concluded that probable cause existed in 1986 to arrest and charge Amy Bishop for crimes committed after she fled the house. She had taken the shotgun to a nearby auto dealership shop and brandished it at two employees in an attempt to get a car. So she tried to steal somebody's car with a gun.
Yeah. After shooting someone.
A shotgun, of all things. So she could have been charged with assault with a deadly weapon, carrying a dangerous weapon, and unlawful possession of ammunition.
Yeah.
The statute of limitations has expired on each of these charges.
Of course they would.
Yeah.
Man, these cops and justice people suck.
But the most serious charge considered in 1986 was manslaughter for the death of her brother, which we all know that murder does not have a statute of limitations.
Yeah.
David Patrick, the governor of Massachusetts, ordered the state police to review their investigation, saying it is critical that we provide as clear an understanding as possible about all aspects of this case and its investigation to ensure that where mistakes were made, they are not repeated in the future. Which, it was a different time back then, so I still believe, I'm sure stuff gets covered up still.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure. Because people are human and humans make mistakes, sometimes very egregious mistakes.
Especially if you know important people or higher up people or, you mm-hmm. know, like the chief of police or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
An investigation was opened in which the state cooperated with the Norfolk County District Attorney's Office to assess the state and local police, and then DA's handling of the case. And on February 25th, 2010, District Attorney Keating sent a letter to the District Court Judge Mark Coven to start a judicial inquest into the 1986 shooting. So it is, like, what, 30?
30 years, almost. Technically,
20. A little less, yeah.
Like, 23.
Yeah.
Still,
a lot less.
Still, but still. 27 years.
20 years later. Keating said that the recently enlarged crime scene photos from Bishop's bedroom reveal a news article in which a similar crime was reported. He speculated that this article may relate to Bishop's intent. So she got the idea from somewhere else.
And she is a writer. She's a reader. So.
Yeah.
Making good story.
Keating did not identify the specific news article, but the Boston Globe wrote that an internet search revealed that 2 weeks earlier, the parents of Patrick Duffy, the actor who played Bobby Ewing on the popular television show Dallas were killed in Manhattan by an assailant wielding a 12-gauge shotgun who then held up a car dealership, stole a pickup truck, and fled. So, the power of influence, if you will. Or the power of...
She went to Harvard as a biologist and she still plagiarizes.
Yeah, exactly.
Sounds about right, though.
On March 1st of 2010, former Massachusetts State Police Detective Brian Howe discussed the case. Howe was a lead investigator for the state police in the Bishop case. He said that he looks forward to addressing the judicial inquest into the shooting and stands by his 1987 report. Of course. He had agreed that Captain Theodore Buick, the late Braintree lead investigator, that the shooting was accidental. Howe said that he was assigned to the case nearly 2 hours after the shooting and immediately called Braintree. Buecher told him that he would not be needed that day and that Bishop had already been released into her parents' custody. Howe stated that Braintree police never informed him that Bishop had later allegedly accosted employees at a car dealership at gunpoint demanding a car. Howe said that he repeatedly requested the December 6th incident reports from the Braintree police but never received them, which, that's sketchy in itself.
Yeah.
And on March 1st of 2010, Norfolk District Attorney Keating announced an inquest would be held April 13th through 16th of 2010. So this is, like, important because it's a product of the shooting. We will get to the shooting, I promise. But I found this really interesting, and you kind of had to go back in time.
Yeah.
To move forward, and it all makes sense in the end. So, anyway. Judge Mark Coven, First Justice of Quincy District Court, was scheduled to hold the inquest. During the inquest, Braintree police officers testified that Judy Bishop had asked for Polio by name before officers were ordered to release Amy Bishop. So again, indicating that there was some sort of...
conflict of interest. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to see my friend.
Judy Bishop, Polio, and his wife all testified that Judy Bishop and Polio had not been friends and that Judy Bishop denied that she had asked Polio at the station. So, it's that he said, she said kind of situation.
Yeah.
On June 16th, 2010, Bishop was charged with first-degree murder in her brother's death nearly 24 years after his shooting. Keating commented, "I can't give you any explanation. I can't give you excuses because there are none. Jobs weren't done, responsibilities weren't met, and justice wasn't served." So 24 years after the fact.
Yeah. Now she's finally getting charged?
Yeah.
So,
well, 10 years ago she was finally. Well,
you know what I mean. Still, it took a long time to get charged.
Yeah.
So what happens now, Keely?
Well, Bishop's parents, who claimed that Braintree officers lied about the events at the station, issued a statement after the indictment. They wrote, "We cannot explain or even understand what happened in Alabama. However, we know that what happened 23 years ago to our son Seth was an accident." The protagonist of the first of Bishop's unpublished novels is a woman who, as a child, attempted to frighten a friend after an argument but accidentally killed the friend's brother.
Split personality, maybe?
Or she's putting what happened into
her stories.
A form that she can't be held responsible for.
Like that Stephen King.
So it's interesting. Obviously, we weren't there, so we can't say, but yeah.
Yeah. She's like a little Stephen King.
Mm-hmm.
Misery.
Patrick Rodden Keefe has speculated after reviewing the evidence that Bishop had meant to frighten or shoot her father with the shotgun after an argument and mistook her brother for him. So it's possible she could have been trying to frighten him, but...
You do all that, and then afterwards you go do all that
stuff? I don't know how trigger pulls were back then, but it's kind of hard to accidentally pull the trigger.
Well, I know also if you are in a rage,
whatever, but yeah, it's
possible.
If it's a tense situation, I guess I can't speak
for... Doing all that stuff afterwards, that's where it's also bad,
yeah,
too.
That shows intent. So there was also the pipe bomb incident we mentioned earlier. According to investigators, Bishop and her husband, James Anderson, were suspects in a 1993 letter bomb case. Paul Rosenberg, a Harvard Medical School professor and physician at Children's Hospital Boston, received a package containing two pipe bombs, which failed to explode. Rosenberg was Bishop's supervisor at a children's hospital neurobiology lab. Bishop had allegedly been concerned about receiving a negative evaluation from Rosenberg and reportedly had been in a dispute with him. Bishop resigned from her position at the hospital because Rosenberg felt she could not meet the standards required for the work. According to documents based upon witness interviews, Bishop was reportedly upset and on the verge of a nervous breakdown as a result.
So she's a little crazy.
So the way that she responds to things is definitely...
Out of the...
Yeah.
Hey, I know you didn't do good this time, but try harder next time, okay? I'm gonna blow you up.
So they built a case around this to see if she was potentially the perpetrator. The chief federal prosecutor in Boston at the time, U.S. Attorney Carmen Ortiz, reviewed the case following the shooting in Huntsville. And she ultimately decided Bishop would not be charged in the bombing attempt. She determined that the initial investigation in 1993 was appropriate and thorough, and the case remains unsolved. So this is another incident that was kind of looked into after the fact. Because
that would make a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. No,
I kind of think that she should have gone deeper because she sort of just flipped through the paperwork and was like, "Ah, they did a good job."
Well, I guess it all depends. Like, it's like, oh, just a disgruntled employee,
or whatever. She could have seen that there's nothing really that she could charge her, like nothing solid enough to get a actual conviction. So it might have been more work than it was worth at that point.
Might have just been like hearsay. You didn't know about the evidence and. All that stuff, so.
Yeah. And then in 2002, Bishop was charged with punching a woman who had received the last booster seat at the International House of Pancakes in Peabody, Massachusetts.
Okay, I think I actually can agree with this one because we all wanted to do that one time. And I need my booster seat.
She was actually never charged with anything. She was supposed to take anger management classes, but according to her husband, he said that she had never attended any classes.
Well, why should she? She's not angry, obviously.
I don't know. Anyway.
I'm totally joking. She needed it.
Okay, now we're getting to the shooting. I know that was a lot. Maybe I should have done the shooting first, but you know what? It all comes to this. This is the point that we're trying to make. The point we're trying to get to. I don't know what I'm saying. So the day of the shooting, Bishop taught her anatomy in neuroscience class. A student later stated Bishop seemed perfectly normal during the lecture. Bishop then attended a biology department faculty meeting on the third floor of the Shelby Center for Science and Technology. According to witnesses, 12 or 13 people attended the meeting, which was described as an ordinary faculty meeting. Bishop's behavior was also described as normal just prior to the shooting. She sat quietly at the meeting for 30 or 40 minutes before pulling out a handgun just before 4 p.m. A witness said that Bishop got up suddenly, took out a gun, and started shooting at each one of us. She started with the one closest to her and went down the row, shooting her targets in the head.
Oh my.
Yes. Another survivor said, "This wasn't random shooting around the room. This was execution style." That's a heavy statement.
Remember that Christmas party? You gave me that used thing that I didn't like? Revenge.
Those who were shot were on one side of the oval table. The five on the other side dropped to the floor. After Bishop had fired several rounds, Deborah Moriarty, the biochemistry professor, said that Bishop pointed the gun at her and pulled the trigger, but heard only a click as her gun either jammed or ran out of ammunition. She described Bishop as initially appearing angry, then perplexed. Joseph, how do you say his last name? It's just NG.
Joseph Nj.
Nj.
Boots and cats and boots.
His last name is just NG. So Joseph, an associate professor, said Meredith attempted to stop Bishop by approaching her and asking her to stop, and helped the other survivors push Bishop from the room and block the door. He said that Meredith was probably the one that saved our lives and was the one that initiated the rush.
That would be crazy. Imagine the gun being pointed at you. You hear that click.
And then just rushing on someone with a gun. That's terrifying.
Yeah.
But that's what needs to happen is those quick, precise movements.
You need to fight.
Putting someone down. Yeah. Of course, when you're in the moment, like there's, you can say everything in hindsight is 2020, but in the moment you have no idea how you're going to respond.
Yeah, there's only three things, fight, flight.
You could get deer in the headlights and totally freeze up and just nothing. Then you're gone, you know? Who knows?
That lady was brave for doing that.
I really can't. Like, for me personally, I have no idea how I would respond.
Like, just like at work.
Does your adrenaline start to rush? Do you try to, like, do something about it? Like, some people get that savior complex and potentially distract them enough so that other people can get away. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sad, sad situation either way you look at it. So the suspected murder weapon was a 9mm Ruger P95 handgun. It was found in a bathroom on the second floor of the building. Bishop did not have a permit to carry a concealed weapon. She was arrested a few minutes later outside the building. Shortly after her arrest, Bishop was quoted as saying, "It didn't happen. There's no way." When asked about the deaths of her colleagues, Bishop replied, "There's no way. They're still alive."
She is crazy.
She was in shock.
Well,
it's just like the Colorado Aurora shooter. He said that he just went into, like, his
mode.
It was like autopilot, he said.
Yeah. Our guest speaker, Kitty.
Police interviewed Bishop's husband, James Anderson, after it was determined that she had called him to pick her up after the shooting. They did not charge him. The couple was seen leaving their home with duffel bags on Friday afternoon prior to the shooting. Anderson revealed that his wife had borrowed the gun used in the shooting, and that he had escorted her to an indoor shooting range in the weeks prior to the incident. Shortly after Bishop's arrest, there was concern that she had booby-trapped the science building with a herpes bomb intended to spread the virus. She had worked with the herpes virus during her postdoctoral studies and had written a novel describing the spread of a virus similar to herpes throughout the world. The police had already searched the premise, finding only the handgun used in the shooting. And following the Alabama shooting, Bishop was charged with one count of capital murder and three counts of attempted murder. The police confiscated her computer, the family van, and a large binder containing documents pertaining to her 10-year battle. She secured an unnamed attorney and was held at the Madison County, Alabama jail without bail. Okay, so prosecutors said almost from the outset that they would seek the death penalty. According to Alabama law regarding the sentencing for capital murder, Bishop was eligible for either death penalty or life in prison. On February 15th, during a closed-door hearing presided over an Alabama judge, the charges were read to Bishop. Following the hearing, Bishop was on suicide watch, a standard procedure in such cases. Her husband said she called him prior to her arraignment, and they spoke for approximately 2 minutes. He said she seemed to be doing okay. On March 12th, while executing a search warrant in Bishop's residence, the police discovered a suspicious device, prompting an evacuation of the nearby neighborhood. It was later identified by the bomb squad as non-explosive.
Interesting.
So, you know.
Maybe he was in on it, too.
Who knows?
I'm not saying you did it, dude, if you happen to be listening.
I know.
I'm just saying, crazy conspiracy theory. Maybe it was the whole school.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe it was the cops. Maybe it was the government. Maybe it was aliens. Is that better now, guys?
Who knows?
Don't sue me.
Roy Miller visited her in jail and said she did not remember the shooting and was very cognizant, but seemed to recognize that she had a loose grip on reality. Initially, he said that Bishop has severe mental health issues and appeared to be paranoid schizophrenia, but later retracted that statement, saying he had spoken out of turn. In February 2013, Bishop told reporter Patrick Redding Keefe that she was being treated with or for paranoid schizophrenia with haloperidol. I don't know what that is. Mm-hmm. Miller told a reporter at the New York Times that this was a whodunit. This lady had committed this offense or the offense in front of the world. It gets to be a question in her mind, in my mind, of her mental capacity at the time and her mental state at the time that these acts were committed. Miller said he would be enlisting the help of one or more psychiatrists to examine his client, who said that this was not the first time that she had no recollection of something that had happened, or allegedly, in my opinion, because she probably remembered it, but...
Yeah. Well, maybe she did have a split personality.
Who knows?
Schizophrenia. That's why she wrote books to let her other side out.
Yeah. She did attempt suicide after she was indicted for the murder of her brother, and they reopened the case. She survived and was treated, but then returned to jail. And then in November of 2010, survivors two of the survivors filed lawsuit against Anderson and Bishop to recover damages, which is understandable. Sure. That would cause a lot of trauma too, so.
Ruin the Christmas party.
Yeah. And then on September 24th, 2012, Bishop was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. She's currently serving her life sentences at the Julia Tutwiler Prison for Women in Wetumpka.
I like these names in Alabama.
Alabama. As of 2020, her security classification is medium and her residence is a dormitory instead of a cell block.
Why are we giving her privilege?
I don't know. I don't understand this. Maybe it's her mental illness. Maybe it elevates her status. I don't know what it means.
Maybe it's because she's, a smart person who went to college at Harvard. She has the money. She can do all that stuff.
Yeah.
Man, the justice system, man.
Yep. So after pleading guilty in September of 2012 and waiving her right to appeal, Bishop filed an appeal on February 11th of 2013. The appeal stated she was not informed of the rights she would be waiving by pleading guilty, that she was not correctly informed of the minimum range of punishment, and that the circuit court failed to explain that she could withdraw her plea. And then on April 26th, 2013, the Court of Criminal Appeals of Alabama rejected the appeal and stated that Bishop failed to challenge the validity of her guilty pleas in the circuit court and did not file either a motion to withdraw her pleas or a motion for a new trial. So she couldn't even file things correctly in
jail. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
She's like, you never gave me my choice, my rights. You never, like, all this stuff. And it's like, we literally asked you.
Yeah.
And you said if you want to, you can do it this way. And you did not do it. Yeah. You said no. And you said you did it like eight different ways, eight different times.
I know. Well, the thing that interested me the most about this is just everything that kind of came out after the fact, after the shooting happened, and how many different times she got away with crimes. This is the pattern that people like this get into.
Oh, yeah.
Is they push the boundaries. They get away with things they shouldn't get away with, especially murder. No one should ever get away with murder. I don't care if it's accidental murder. I mean, unless it's truly 100%, like, no shadow of a doubt, tons of people saw and understood it was an accident.
Yeah.
But, like, just taking her mom's word for it, why didn't the dad step up if he was there? Like, I don't understand that whole situation.
Yeah, why didn't the dad do something? Why didn't the husband do something? All these other different accounts? The punching of a lady at IHOP?
The justice system just failed her because it continued to let her get away with things. And yet people with, like, drug charges are sitting in jail rotting
for 30, a drug 40 years
that's like legal in most states.
Yeah, they're sitting in like a jail cell,
like prison.
Yeah, while she's in a comfy little place after
a dormitory
after killing like four people.
Literally,
that's messed up.
So anyway,
well, that was okay. It wasn't as bad as I thought.
Yeah, I know.
It just got me mad at
the justice system.
The justice system.
There was just a lot to it that I found extremely interesting. So.
Oh, yeah, especially how you said she was like a writer.
Yeah.
That sounds like she has split personality for me.
Potentially.
Because can see it. Everything, like you said, that she wrote in her books.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's someone like related, so. Huh. Well, thank you, Kaylee.
Yeah, no problem.
You want to hear my little two little short stories?
Yeah.
All right.
I would love to.
You want to hear, guys? Yes. I know you all waited through all that just to hear me.
I'm sorry. You always have to hear me ramble on about some sort of court case and blah, blah, blah. I find it interesting, so I hope y'all do.
I think they do, too. I think that's what they'd rather have anyway. You're the smart one of the group.
That's sad.
Why? I'm the dumb one. All right. So this one's called Sally's Carter's Grave in Huntsville.
Sally Carter's Grave?
Yeah.
In Huntsville.
In Huntsville. It's in the town of
Alabama.
You just mentioned it earlier.
I did.
Yes, you did. Anyone attending in school in Huntsville through 1982 likely made a visit to Sally Carter's grave.
Hmm.
According to legend, Sally was a teenager visiting her sister Mary Ewing at Cedarhurst Mansion in 1837 when she was taken ill and died. It's old. This is an old story.
Yeah, it is.
She was buried in the family cemetery at the South Huntsville Estate. Her headstone read, "My flesh shall slumber in the ground till the last trumpet's joyful sound, then burst the chains with sweet surprise, and in my Savior's image arise."
That's beautiful.
I was a poet and I didn't even know it. Ready for my mixtape?
Can't wait.
According to realhunts.com, sightings of Sally's ghost started in 1919.
Wow.
When a teenage boy who was staying at the mansion had a dream about her. In the dream, Sally came to him and told him to fix her tombstone, which had been toppled over during the previous night's storm. Sure enough, when he went to visit her tombstone the next morning, it had been knocked down.
Wow.
Since then, dozens of people have reported seeing Sally's ghost, either in the mansion or at her grave, but the numerous visits to the gravesite took their toll. The site was often vandalized, and Sally's remains were exhumed in December 1982, not 18, in December 1982, and reinterred in an undisclosed location. The mansion is now the clubhouse for a gated community.
Wow, that's so sad.
That is sad.
I hate that people, humans, are like that. Why can't you just enjoy a local legend or something like that and not desecrate a grave? Like, that's an idea.
Yeah. That made me a little sad.
Yeah, that is really sad that she had to be put in some undisclosed location.
What if it's the grave next to it? No. That's what I thought.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's what I would do. But
yeah.
So, I got another story, a little short one.
Okay.
The Curse of the River Serpent. And that's part of Tennessee.
Okay.
And the Alabama rivers.
We'll give you a pass.
So they all connect. There is Alabama rivers it's in. Also connected to Tennessee and stuff, though.
Okay.
Farmers reported spotting giant serpents in the Tennessee River as far back as 1822.
Wow.
When Buck Sutton was fishing in Van Holes in a branch of the river across the Tennessee line. Yee-haw, Tennessee line.
Tennessee,
Alabama.
I guess they all sound the same over there. Sorry, South.
And we sound like this over here.
I always wonder what our accents sound like to other people. Because we have an accent to some people. Even though we don't think we have an accent.
Well, you know people from California. It sounds really, really rude. They have that gangster swag.
Gangster swag. I was thinking of like Valley Girls. Like,
it depends. Like, the guys have that, like, and the girls.
Like, Louis Vuitton. Like, that's rude for me to say. But there are Valley Girls. That's a thing.
I think that's what the girls sound like. And the guys have more of a swag.
I guess.
And then, you know, how the Phoenix people are like, I don't know.
Dirty Methods. I'm just kidding. I'm from Phoenix.
Yeah, she's full of it.
I can say that.
Wow. At least you're not from Chino Valley like me.
Anyway.
I forgot where I was.
I think at the very beginning.
He spotted an undulating 25-foot long creature and told friends, "The thing was monstrous. It was the creature. I could see the thing as clear as day," reported newspaper columnist E. Randall Floyd in a 1993 article in the Spartanburg SC Herald Journal.
Interesting.
So fancy, fancy, fancy. Monster, monster, monster. River monster. You know me and my river monsters. River monster.
Phoenix?
What?
Raven?
River.
Anyway.
Sutton panicked. Everyone knew those who saw the serpent were cursed. As the legend foretold, Sutton died a few days after the sighting. Floyd chronicles others whose experiences mirrored Sutton's. Billy's Byrne died in 1827 after seeing the serpent, and Jim Windham in 1829. So everyone who started seeing this started dying.
Ooh, spooky.
You know how I am with my serpents, and everyone seeing them always dying.
Slithery.
I thought this was more of a north...
snake.
Snake. That was more of a northwest thing.
Northwest.
More northwest thing, but I guess it's a southwest.
I guess.
I guess it's just a thing everywhere.
The serpent.
This snake is a real asshole.
Maybe he was a Slytherin.
Potter. Harry Potter. It's a basilisk.
Oh,
true. In 1877, reports appeared in the Gadsden Times of sightings of serpents in the Coosa River, a tributary of the Alabama River. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A fisherman reported seeing a 20-foot-long creature with large fins slithering near the banks at Ball Play Creek before it slipped beneath the surface.
Very interesting.
But he did not die. So...
so
interesting. You know what I think of when I see that? Big what? Fish.
Oh, true. But they didn't die.
Well, eventually you die. This isn't how I go.
Spoiler alert.
If they don't know, if they haven't seen Big Fish, I don't want to be their friends, Kaylee. Tim Burton.
Okay, so movie. You guys have homework if you've never seen Big Fish.
Listen to this. Watch Big Fish. Comment your favorite scene from that movie in our comments.
And then we can be friends.
And then I'll be your best friend.
And if you don't want to be best friends, then...
forget you.
Forget you.
You. I see you driving around town. That's all I got, guys.
Anyway.
I know it's not good.
It was good.
No, it's not.
You're good.
You are too now.
Soon. Almost.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, guys. Surprise. Oh, Patreon. Oh, no. Or should Patreon first? Or should we do the law?
Well, I have a weird law.
Weird law or Patreon, guys? Which one do you want? Okay, weird law it is.
Well, then they have to earn the weird law.
By giving us money. That's
why
you come to us.
If you haven't already checked out our Patreon, we have a lot of bonus content on there. We have ghost hunting episodes where we actually visited two haunted locations. And, spoiler alert, we are actually going to be staying in another haunted location.
One we've talked about before.
That we did our very first Arizona episode on. Well, technically it's episode 2, but it's the first episode that people will hear.
Yeah. For our Haciampa.
We're going to be getting married and staying at the Haciampa Inn. So maybe we'll do...
so now I can haunt her for the rest of her life.
Anyway, patreon.com/theUnitedStatesofHorror. We got a couple different tiers that you guys can look into and benefits in all of them. And we're just going to continue to add benefits because eventually we're going to have a merch line and you'll get discounts off of that.
Special episodes.
All of our episodes that are ad-free. And
maybe some hidden ones eventually, like our original first one that was
the quality was rough. It was rough. Anyway, now you get our weird law.
Okay, hurry up.
It's illegal to wear blue jeans on Noble Street in Anniston. However, blue jeans are acceptable everywhere else in Anniston. But on Noble Street, you're not allowed to wear them.
You should be noble. You should have black pants.
Exactly.
Black pants. Or you know what I mean, like slacks.
Slacks. Or dresses for the ladies. Or slacks for the ladies. It's 2020. You can wear whatever you want.
Wear a clown suit.
As long as they're not blue jeans. So would leggings count?
Would navy? I guess navy.
What if they're jeggings? Because they're not technically jeans.
Who wears short shorts?
Anyway.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for listening.
How do you find us, Kaylee?
If you want to submit your personal paranormal stories, you can send those to UnitedStatesOfHorror@gmail.com. Our cat is licking her butthole. Thank you, Sandy.
Are we going to leave that in?
Maybe.
I think so.
If you also want to follow all our social medias, you can do so by following the links below. We're most active on Instagram, even though we've kind of been slacking lately. As you all know, it's an election year. Jeff and I try to stay off social media as much as possible. And so that means kind of a lack of posting. We apologize for that, but...
But we also have a fan page, and we have our Facebook page and Instagram. So just leave a message, comment something, join that fan page, and maybe make a couple friends.
Yeah, we would love to see more conversations happening on the United States of Horror Fanatics page. It's for horror fanatics. I know it implies that it's our podcast fanatics, but it's mostly just for people who are interested in the same things, and it's a private group so that you can share whatever you want and not feel judged by your, you know,
friends,
family.
Yeah, we notice there's some people who listen.
Yeah.
And it makes me so happy, and I wish we got to know them better.
Totally.
Even if they just comment something once in a while or like something more.
I kind of wonder if people who like our pages actually listen to our podcast, because we have some people on Instagram that like all of our posts and people on Facebook that like all of our posts, but they've never spoken to us, so.
Yeah, let us know. Talk to us, guys. We would love to talk to you.
We want to talk to you.
We want to get to know you. Maybe you could be our page, like, what is that? Like, not top fan.
But yeah, like, top fan.
Maybe a mod.
I don't know.
Mod person. I don't know.
Anyway, talk to us. Speak to us.
And we're on Spotify.
Yeah.
Apple.
Hi, Anchor. Monty.
Hi. What?
I don't know. I just wanted to say hi, Monty.
Hi, Robbie.
Hi, Robbie.
If they listen.
Hi, our normal listeners.
Hi, everyone.
See, we could just give you guys random shout outs if we knew for sure that you listened.
Yeah. And don't forget our previous
hi, two Leslie. Episodes.
Hi, Leslie. Hi, Kaylee's mom.
I just want to say hi to everybody. She's your mom now, too.
Oh, crap.
Anyway.
Mom? Mommy?
Who else listens regularly? Brenton, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. He just abandoned us.
I know Lisa does.
Lisa?
Sorry if I put you on blast and that gives you social anxiety. I'm so sorry. I get it, too.
Lisa?
Lisa on our Facebook.
Oh.
She's one of the people that I mentioned. So hopefully, don't stalk her, guys. Don't creep her out. I'm sorry.
Let's just not put her last name in there.
Okay, just Lisa. Leave her alone.
Leave her alone.
Don't overwhelm her. But that's what I mean. Like, she likes all of our stuff, so
yeah.
it's so awesome that people...
Anyway, this is probably going, like, way longer than it needs to.
Yeah, we're, like, 3 minutes of doing this.
We just want to talk to you guys. Can you tell? We're lonely.
I'm stuck with her all the time. Oh,
I'm stuck with him all the time. Yes. I think you should feel a little bit more bad for me.
Yeah, actually, I feel bad.
Okay, let's end this. I'm sorry, guys. Bye.
All right, bye.
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 Bye.